Today on Secular Radio, thank you, President Trump.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you very much, and we love you, and I can tell you that from the bottom of my heart. This has been an incredible 4 years. We've accomplished so much together. I want to thank all of my family and my friends and my staff and so many other people for being here. I want to thank you for your effort, your hard work. People have no idea how hard this family worked.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
As I conclude my term as the 45th President of the United States, I stand before you truly proud of what we have achieved together.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Sekulow Radio. We're going to take your phone calls, too. I know that President Biden is now giving his speech. He is taking the oath of office, giving his speech. We're monitoring that, if there's anything significant there. I think that we know from our audience, if that's what you want to be listening to, you can go to a number of different media outlets and you can watch that speech in its entirety as it's going on right now. So we're going to do something different on our live broadcast as we take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 because we're going to use this day. Listen, I think it's a day. It's all right to be sad. It's all right to feel upset. It's all right to be a little bit down on when you imagine what it would have been like with another 4 years of the pro-Israel, pro-America, America First policies, pro-life, with more judicial nominees that would have, I mean, it's already amazing President Trump, just on the judicial nominees, was able to fill three vacancies on the U.S. Supreme Court, and his latest being Justice Barrett right at the end of his term, his first 4 years, and what it would be like. So I don't think it's a day where you have to just quickly shift and be excited about. You could celebrate the peaceful transition of power that we have in our country that we have a history of. That's fine, but that doesn't mean you have to be happy about who's the power shifting to. That's also an American right. I heard Rand Paul earlier today. He's like, yeah, it's great that we have this transition of power. It's not who I'd want it to be. But I'm not happy about who it's transitioning to. Look. That's okay to, I think, have those feelings. But it's also a great day, I think, that we need to. Those of us who appreciate what President Trump did policy-wise, cut through the rhetoric, cut through the tweets, cut through the saying things are witch hunts, even though I believe they were, and say, you know, and look at the actual policy accomplishments. We're going to do that today on the broadcast while Joe Biden speaks. So we're giving you an alternative to a guy who's talking about unity, but in his first 10 days doesn't sound very united to me. And by the way, he will be repealing the Mexico City policy, so we'll again be funding abortions with our taxpayer dollars overseas. We talk about elections having consequences. They have them immediately when it comes to presidents because of their executive power to act. So in a few days, as he goes through his list, I think that's on day 28, so 8 days from today, he will be beginning the United States with your taxpayer dollars funding overseas abortions yet again. That's just an example of where this is going naturally when you elect this party right now, which is a party that must be strictly pro-abortion to even be considered for a nominee.
They're also saying that immediately the president is going to work with his team to get back into the JCPOA, that is the so-called Iran nuclear deal, which was no nuclear deal at all. This is as Iran is internally crumbling. They're willing to, I understand he's willing to prop it back up again as it is crumbling economically, militarily, but he wants to prop it back up again. That kind of tells you what lies ahead. So, yes, you can celebrate the transition of power, the smooth transition of power, because we live in a constitutional republic. But the policy challenges ahead, folks, are going to be great. Let's not kid ourselves for a moment. There's going to be those challenges, you know when they start? At about 11:58 when he took the oath of office. That's when the challenges started. And believe me,
he's heading right to the Oval Office to begin the executive order signing. So that's when the fights really do begin.
Yeah, I mean, and you're going to look at massive change very quickly. We're going to have to be prepared to fight back and fight back in a way that is impactful. We're going to do that at the ACLJ. When we disagree with the policy, believe me, the country will know. When it's a policy that we think is damaging internationally, they're going to know that too.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Very interesting question on YouTube, because you think it came out on YouTube. So if you're watching on Facebook, on YouTube, I encourage you to share this, because if people want an alternative to hearing Joe Biden talk right now about, you know, it's a lot of, again, things that actually aren't the case, because the unity talk and the coming together talk, you give all the speech you want about that, but the actions speak louder than words. And what he's acting on is things that will divide the country immediately, including impeachment, which he has not called for that to be called off. He could. I think he could step in, but he hasn't. He's encouraged it. So Harry wrote on YouTube, are they still pursuing impeachment now? Or now that Biden's inaugurated, will they just let it go? Dad, I mean, we expect that article of impeachment, there's only one, could be delivered as early as tomorrow, and that we could have an impeachment trial beginning next week in the United States of America.
There is talk that the articles of impeachment, you know, been drafted, they've been passed, the president's been impeached. I mean, they could technically deliver them this afternoon to the Senate. But there are reports that they could be delivered as early as tomorrow, and that it's likely that a trial would begin. Technically, it begins at 1 o'clock the next day, but they could, by agreement, agree to move it over. Now, we have already raised, and it's interesting to me, Wes, that the President Biden is now talking about unity when they are about to, again, and I hate to say it this way, but I'm going to say it this way, basically insult 75 million people that voted for Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
And you're a pastor. That doesn't sound very unifying to me. Let it go.
It's not unifying. Some of his rhetoric has been very disuniting, to use a word, but also his silence. He could call for the Senate to just dismiss the impeachment, you know, charges and go on. He could call out the Democrat leaders and the media who are calling for the deprogramming of 74 million Americans who voted for Donald Trump. That language is out there every day on the media. He's silent on that. He could talk about uniting the Republican and Democrat parties for the good of the nation. His silence says more about how he's not serious about uniting us than the things that he's saying. I wish he would speak up. He is the most influential man in America today. He is. He could have a profound influence in uniting us if he would speak up.
Here's what he's afraid of, though. Play Senator Schumer.
So let me be clear. There will be an impeachment trial in the United States Senate. There will be a vote on convicting the president for high crimes and misdemeanors. And if the president is convicted, there will be a vote on barring him from running again.
Which is really what this is about, Andy.
That's all it's about, is the attempt to bar Donald Trump from holding public office, including the presidency of the United States. That is bald-faced, obvious, and clear. There is no question about it in my mind. You talk about bringing the country together. Biden, you're the president of the United States. You can have an effect on Schumer and others, but you don't want to do it.
Well, I mean, here he is. This is from the speech from Joe Biden, and you listen to this. This is a president now, President Biden, who has encouraged the impeachment to continue. He didn't step in and say, this is not going to be good for my administration. He didn't do it behind the scenes, obviously, because Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer wouldn't be moving forward aggressively the way they are. So he's green-lighting the impeachment, but trying to make us believe that what he's saying in this speech we should actually take as truth. We know it's not truth. They want to destroy the Republican Party, destroy President Trump, cancel us from history, reprogram you. Well, first deprogram you and then reprogram you. And if they can't, they'll just take you off from being able to communicate your message. Listen to his speech, because the speech doesn't match, again, words. Under President Trump, this is also very important. Words versus actions. The actions speak much louder. These are empty words from Joe Biden today as he gives his inaugural address, Byte 64.
History, faith, and reason show the way. The way of unity. We can see each other not as adversaries, but as neighbors. We can treat each other with dignity and respect. We can join forces, stop the shouting, and lower the temperature. For without unity, there is no peace, only bitterness and fury. No progress, only exhausting outrage. No nation. Only a state of chaos.
And for this reason, the impeachment of Donald J. Trump should not go forward, is what he should have said on the next line, because it's politically motivated, obviously. He's out of office, and it will encourage, well, let's hope it doesn't this time.
Well, I mean, politically it does.
Yes, politically, certainly.
Because impeachment is a big deal, or it used to be a big deal. Now it's becoming like the norm, right? So he's the first president, they try to impeach twice, of course not convicted, acquitted the first time. But I go through all those words. That Joe Biden, we just heard from Joe Biden, and we could join for. How do you stop the shouting and lower the temperature when you have an impeachment trial? For goodness sakes, you can't. It is a trial. It's adversarial in its nature, and you're trying to impeach someone who is no longer in office that 75 half the country voted for.
I mean, think about this. I mean, we spent 3 weeks on the Senate floor arguing about impeachment. Let me tell you something, folks. It's objections. It's adversarial. It's
about
it's,
as partisan as it gets.
It is not only as partisan as it gets. The word I would circle is, Andy, is adversarial. That's what it is. Yeah. It's an adversarial process.
I mean, it was super adversarial. I can still visualize us sitting on the floor of the Senate with those seven or eight House managers sitting on the other side, you know, just being just as strong as they can and adversarial in their position, and we being as strong as we can in our defense of the president. But the point is, that does not point the way to unity. That does not create a sense of fostering the togetherness of the nation. That divides. And if President Biden really wanted the faith and unity and the way of unity that he talks about, if he really wanted to shout and lower the temperature and stop the rhetoric, he would take steps to stop any impeachment trial in the Senate.
Look, we haven't even gotten into the policy issues, and here's the thing. Elections do have consequences. So this election, with all of the irregularities and nonsense that went on in it, whatever, and it is now final. Okay, he is the president of the United States. Joe Biden is the president. So now it's going to be policies that'll have to be attacked and addressed and dealt with in the courts, in the halls of Congress. It's a closely divided Congress. But what you have to recognize here, and I think you have to recognize it, is this is a moment in history where a lot of good that has been done is not only potentially going to be rolled back, but as you're going to see in the next segment, are going to be rolled back. But go back to the unity theme, Wes. I was monitoring the speech. He said it a lot, but Schumer's out there ready to deliver articles of impeachment against a president who is not in office tomorrow. Never happened in our history.
Exactly. And he could stop that. Again, I repeat, he's the most influential man in America today. A simple sentence from the man could stop all of this. He could lower the temperature. He says he wants the temperature lowered. He is the person who is most capable of lowering that temperature, and yet he's incredibly silent. My question for the Democrat leadership, do you want unity are acquiescence. I think what they want from 74 million Americans who voted for Donald Trump is acquiescence. They want us to shut up.
You know, I think Angela is picking up on things. I can tell, you know, I like that our audience is very informed, but they're thinkers too. So Angela wrote it on YouTube, said, what would happen if President Trump simply ignores the article and nobody does a defense, nobody shows up? You still need 67 senators to convict, right? Yes, you do need 67 senators to convict. And let me tell you, I mean, there is an idea that if you just say, I'm a private citizen, I'm not going there.
Yeah, no, it's because it goes back to what we said before. Andy and I talked about this, you talked about it. To have jurisdiction in a case, you have to have subject manager and a personal jurisdiction and subject matter jurisdiction. Here, they don't have either. And now, in an impeachment, it says the president. So I think one approach could be that the president's lawyers write a letter detailing the constitutional analysis of why it's inappropriate to be proceeding, Andy, against a former president. Not the president, a former president. He has the title president for the rest of his life, but he's a former president.
That's right. I mean, it would be, in my opinion, a very good strategic move if the president's lawyers or whoever's representing him were to write a respectful letter to the Senate of the United States simply saying, you do not have subject matter jurisdiction over an impeachment trial of a person who is no longer in office. You cannot remove him from office because he's no longer in office. He is a private citizen. You don't have personal jurisdiction over the individual because he is now Donald J. Trump, the individual human being, not the President of the United States, and I decline to appear and to participate in any trial. That is possible and may not be a bad idea, Jay.
Gwen's calling from Pennsylvania on line 6. Hey, Gwen, welcome to JSEC. You're live. You're on the air.
Hi. I've been listening. I just don't understand how, like, the hatred that the Democrats have given. Nobody's more hated than Schumer and Pelosi. They're talking about unity. Now, how can there be unity when there's so much hate coming from the left? And all this stuff that they're saying they're going to do, and he's getting a mess. Yeah, he's getting a mess because he wants to undo all the positives that Trump has done.
Yeah, I think this. Listen, they're not really going for unity. They're trying to crush the Republican Party. Divide and conquer is their strategy right now. They think they can divide the Republican Party amongst those who support the president, still are the policies of the president, believe the impeachment's wrong, and those who would like to see him erased as well, because they either want to become president themselves or they're the kind of the old school Republican Party, which, by the way, I don't think really exists on paper or would ever be electable again without working Americans finally who came to the Republican Party under President Trump. But no, we're not going to see unity. This is it's a partisan town. And you're about to see it, partisan warfare. That is what will happen. And it's going to start off with the second impeachment, but this time of a president who is now in Florida and is a former president, as a private citizen.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Secular Radio. This is Jordan Seculo. We wanted to use this opportunity. By the way, President Biden has delivered his speech. We played some of that for you. We didn't really see that there was anything else that was so newsworthy. But it was really to compare and contrast this message of unity that which we knew he was going to say over and over again. But yeah. Then we have an impeachment that's likely going to begin next week, a trial of a former president. So you want to divide the country immediately, have impeachment of a former president, do something that's never been done before, that's only for the purposes of dividing the country, and trying to punish not just President Trump, but in a way punish all of the people who voted for him and supported him, because it's like we're impeaching, we're all being impeached.
You know, I think it was something that Wes said that is really, you got to think about this more. They're saying the word unity, right, Wes? Mm-hmm. But you're right, it's really acquiescence.
It is. Yeah, it's a shame. It really is. You know, in another America, you could disagree with someone on their policy, have a heated discussion without being called a racist or a misogynist or all of those kinds of things. Those kinds of terms and the rhetoric we're hearing from the left, they're designed to shut off conversation. They want you to stop objecting, stop questioning, and that does not lead towards unity. It just simply doesn't. And yet it seems like every time you question someone's policy, you get labeled as something that's really bad and nefarious.
Yeah, it's made Americans with different policy positions, unfortunately, enemies of each other. I mean, I will tell you that, yes, you can. There are some neighbors that are fine. They've gotten through this politically. Maybe you've lived next door for a while. But you know, if you weren't both in politics before and you haven't been through this before, I think there's neighbors that stop talking to each other. And what I've noticed from, it's not just my friend group being obviously someone who's on radio, which kind of does this very publicly, where I don't really know anybody as a friend from that has this ideological difference.
Yeah.
Because not because I wouldn't be friends with them, but because they don't want to be friends. They don't want to be friends either. It's that's not where America should be. It's not that, of course, naturally you're going to be around people that share your ideas and same beliefs. But this, I think, what is happening is a continued division. There's nothing more dividing than impeaching. It upsets half the country. It will continue. So why does Joe Biden want to begin his presidency with a refocus on Donald Trump? But because what it kind of does is re-energize me as someone who supported the president and still, you know, is still an attorney for the president, and it kind of re-energizes me to say, you know what? Let's fight back even that much more. Let's try to put every roadblock we can in front of Joe Biden, because this guy, this is how he's starting it. Instead of stepping up and saying, you shouldn't be doing this, Pelosi and Schumer.
You know, it's interesting because I had a brief moment of hope initially that when things settled down, that the president, now President Biden, would say, you know what, for the good of the country, let's not go through the adversarial process of impeachment against a president that is not in office. It has serious constitutional issues that have been raised, that will be raised, and it's not good for the health of the country. But clearly what this is designed to do, Andy, is to take what President Trump has done and remove it from the body politic.
Well, that's right.
It's a cancellation culture.
It is a cancellation culture. It's a culture of saying we just want to pretend like he didn't exist for 4 years and 74 or 5 million people who voted for him were deplorables and should, you know, be changed and reprogrammed back into doing the things that we want to do. Let me tell you, Jay, I have tried hundreds of jury trials in the 46 years I've been a lawyer. Jury trials, okay? Hundreds of jury trials in federal court and in state court. I've taken hundreds of pleas. There is nothing more adversarial. There is nothing more hateful there is nothing more divisive than a trial in a court or in the Senate of the United States or in a court of law. I mean, the backs are up. People are bowed up, as we say in the South. They are angry. They are advocating their position. It is vicious in fighting.
Yep.
It is not unity.
No. I mean, you listen to the speech. Listen to Joe Biden. This came from the speech this morning as he becomes president of the United States. He's president of the United States now. It is his inaugural speech. Take a listen, Bite 66.
And so today, at this time, in this place, let's start afresh, all of us. Let's begin to listen to one another again. Hear one another. See one another. Show respect to one another. Politics doesn't have to be a raging fire, destroying everything in its path. Every disagreement doesn't have to be a cause for total war. And we must reject the culture in which facts themselves are manipulated and even manufactured.
That was a direct attack on the former president.
A direct attack on the former president and his supporters and people who voted for him. And by the way, politics doesn't have to be a fire destroying everything in its path. Doesn't have to be total war. Politics is total war, by the way. I mean, whether you like that or not,
it is.
And now it can be done in a
civil way.
In a civil way, because it can be done through elections and peaceful transitions of power, like we see, and it can be done through debates, and it can be done through arguments. But you know what we saw under President Trump? A total war declared on him, because it wasn't done that way. He was being dragged through the Mueller investigation, the special counsel who found nothing. Then he gets impeached for a phone call. Now he's being impeached again for a speech where he said, go peacefully protest. And things got out of hand. So he's being blamed for it. Not the security. Not Nancy Pelosi, who's in charge of security for the House, or Mitch McConnell would be in charge of security at the Senate. They're not being blamed for the fact there wasn't enough security there. It's President Trump, because he gave a speech, and he's a former president to impeach. You don't think politics is total war, President Biden? You're declaring total war again on half the country by re-litigating, in a sense, putting us all back through that impeachment again, that sense that you want to take the president we may have voted for out of history and cancel them and make it so where they can't ever run again for office. That this whole sense of this, that they're so dangerous to the country. So dangerous. You mean nominated and confirmed over 230 federal judges, confirmed 54 judges to the U.S. Court of Appeals. A third of the appellate bench will now be Trump nominees. Filled all Court of Appeals vacancies for the first time in four decades. Flipped the 2nd, 3rd, and 11th Circuit from Democrat-appointed majorities to Republican-appointed majorities. Appointed 3 Supreme Court justices, expanding its conservative-appointed majority 6-3. Eliminated the Obamacare individual mandate. The Dow closed above 20,000 for the first time in 2017, topped 30,000 for the first time in 2020. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ repeatedly have notched record highs. We had economic booms. Even under COVID, things weren't totally disastrous because it got relief through. Our foreign policy was a policy of peace, peacemaking, instead of warfare and conflict. You know what scares me as a parent? When I look at the Biden policies, I see more war, more conflict, more Americans killed overseas and abroad, more of our brave American men and women in the military. I pray that doesn't happen, but I see that policy because it's those same actors. They preach peace, they don't make peace. So President Trump may have talked tough, but he made peace. There's a difference. And we're already seeing, we're being tested as a country. We talked about it yesterday with Iran, but the whole world's going to start testing Joe Biden starting right now. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, thanks for joining us, second half hour. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. We titled the show today, very simple, Thank You, President Trump. It's a statement we're making on the day that Joe Biden has been inaugurated as President of the United States. Not to say that there's anything that, you know, he is the President of the United States now, and he will have to deal with the COVID. He will have to deal with the foreign policy. He will have to make those decisions. Some we know about what's coming, so we're going to talk about that as well. Of course, his first thing he wants to do is something that, by the way, we're all doing already. So is a COVID mask mandate for 100 days.
Yeah, really?
Now, I don't. Where are we not doing that? Yeah, we all have them. I mean, we're all spaced out in here, and we're able to operate in our office where we are, but we have our policies in place. There's not a private business you can go into or school. I mean, my daughter is only 4 years old. She wears a mask most of the day.
Yeah,
and it's a private, you know, church preschool. So I don't know why is that necessary? It's kind of divisive, right? It's trying to say, don't open up. We can't get to there. Okay, so that's what's starting first. Then it's a climate rollback, including the Keystone Pipeline, which, interesting enough, the tribes and labor unions who were opposed to this now said, we've moved so far down the road on this, the tribal issues were worked out
economically.
So they want this to proceed. So do the labor unions. So he's got an issue there.
But the AOCs and the left, the Bernie Sanders, they did not want it, and the president, President Biden, then decided that he was going to have to cave into that. So they did that.
Rejoining the Paris Agreement.
Of course they were going to do that, which is ridiculous because it hasn't done a thing and won't do a thing because China, Russia, and India, you think they're active participants in these? Okay.
He's repealing what they call the Muslim ban, which, again, this was the State Department visa processing. That was a limited restrictions on student visas from countries where there was radicalism and terrorism. You know, they're going to repeal that immediately.
It was where countries could not verify
the people,
who the people were. They couldn't certify it. So
mostly
these seven
states.
Countries were done this. Right. Now, here's what's interesting about that. Does he have the authority to do it? Yeah. I mean, he could roll it back with an executive order. The president put it in place with an executive order. Supreme Court said that executive order was, in fact, constitutional. But I go to this. It's interesting to me that the progress that has been made in the Middle East under the President Trump is the most progress made in the Middle East in our lifetime when you have these accords. And I'm talking about even when Sadat signed the peace treaty with Israel, with Egypt and Israel, and the Jordanian treaties. Those were great. The Camp David Accords never really came into fruition. But here you have these majority Muslim countries, big countries, powerful countries, joining on the side of signing the Abraham Accords. Now, what's interesting is, do we have the sound from this? This is from the nominated Secretary of State. This is interesting what he said on this one. Take a listen.
Final question, because my time has expired. Do you agree that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel?
Mm-hmm.
And do you commit that the United States will keep our embassy in Jerusalem?
Yes and yes.
Thank you.
So that's Anthony Blinken, and he is saying yes and yes, but both Israel, that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, and the embassy will stay there. That will be a lasting legacy of Donald Trump.
Yes, because Joe Biden wouldn't have moved that embassy there.
No way.
No other Republican. Mitt Romney wasn't going to do it if he ever got elected. George Bush didn't do it. And, you know, I can't predict who the future Republican nominees will be, if they would have done it or not. But you had to be bold like President Trump. You had to be the drain the swamp president. And he took so much incoming for that. Now, I'm glad that Anthony Blinken's not listening to John Kerry, who said, you know, but they saw. They were wrong. They thought it would cause all of this violence to cause no violence, and it's led to peace. And they say they hope to build on that peace. That could be the lasting foreign policy legacy of President Trump, is that the peace that he's made is long-lasting, and this administration can't ignore that, which might also box them in more on what they are actually going to be able to do with Iran because of the peace that has been made in the Gulf and in North Africa. From Morocco to Sudan to Qatar to the UAE.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
I want to say this to everybody too. I mean, in a more personal note, that I think it's okay to be upset. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to be sad because of what you know, what it could have been like for the next 4 years for our country. And I'm not talking about, it's not about even a person in the sense of like the individual, but it's the what President Trump was doing, that he was willing to take on D.C. and the swamp, and he was willing to take the incoming which was, you know, started with Mueller immediately when he was a president, and then went to an impeachment. I mean, he's being impeached out of office even for what he did to Washington D.C. was try to drain the swamp. And I think we can all be upset that he didn't get the 4 more years to continue that, to smash D.C., to disrupt all of it. But he did a whole lot in those 4 years that didn't get the kind of attention it deserves, or should, and we'll continue to talk about that because we'll see how Biden tries to change that, and this new administration tries to change that. But unfortunately, what we're seeing is we're going back to where we were 4 years ago. You know, so we're going back to the days of Obama.
Yep.
Back to that. So I mean, it's Biden. I mean, this is the same people. So you know, the deputies have become the cabinet secretaries, but it's the same mindset,
same people.
And what do you see? We saw a lot of conflict in the world, and we saw a lot of violence. We saw a lot of disruption. The Arab Spring was not what we were being sold on what it was actually. Nope. We have a lot of distrust in our country of government, and yet these same actors are going to be brought right back in
and empowered.
And empowered.
Yeah,
and we're going to have to fight aggressively because, listen, this is not a partisan thing. I'd say a lot of those Republican senators, I don't know if there's a 17 that will vote to impeach a private citizen. But I'd say more than half of those senators don't share the politics of you and me. Okay, about half. Republican senators don't share the politics that you and I have. I'm talking to our entire audience.
On the issues.
So we have to push them. Because they ran on saying they did. They all ran on saying they support those policies.
Yeah,
so on the record, they have to, but only if you stay on them. I think you can be sad and upset today, tomorrow.
Get to work.
Yes, or this afternoon. You know, get over it today and be ready to fight. Fight for the legacy. Fight for the policies that you truly believe in, that you know that there's a fight for. And you don't give up because we have midterm elections in 2 years. We have basically a divided U.S. Senate. It is a divided U.S. Senate, right on the balance of power. And then we have, of course, a presidential election in 4 years. And a president who just got sworn in who has kind of not even said that he will run again. I mean, he kind of has hinted that he might not.
I mean, I can't look 4 years ahead. I could tell you this.
But you can look for tomorrow. Got to be ready.
We got to be ready. And I think that you cannot wallow in despair. I understand people are sad and disappointed, and the process is now over. Remember, the only way a president can be removed once sworn into office is impeachment. Now, the fact that they're bringing this impeachment against the president, the former president, I think is outrageous. I think it's unconstitutional. We'll see what happens with that. Certainly not unifying. But you've got to look forward now and say, okay, what are we prepared to engage? So I think the life issue, for one, is going to be very difficult on this administration. Yes. Planned Parenthood is celebrating. But listen, we've taken Planned Parenthood to court. We're going to have to do that. We haven't had to worry too much as much about the funding anymore, because the president really locked that back. That's going to increase. The Mexico City policy, which is funding for organizations overseas that do abortion, it's going to be repealed today in probably 30 minutes. That's what's going to happen. And what Jordan says right on the Republicans in the Senate, some of them are with, some are not. Here's what we have to do. We have to be looking at the issues and the policy and saying, what am I willing to fight for? Am I going to fight for life? Am I going to fight for freedom of religion? And am I going to fight for the state of Israel and a democratic resolution to process? And what I mean by that is that we don't have government by fiat. But look, this is not the first time we've been through this. We have been through this before. I'll go to West first, then Andy. We have done this before. It was just 4 short years ago that we were finishing up with the Obama administration. Let us not forget.
Yeah, those 8 years were tough. Tough years in every sense of the word for the American people, economically, the military, you know, peace in the Middle East, all of those things. We survived those 8 years. We'll survive these two. And two other quick things. I have hope because I believe in the American people, who we are and what is our foundation. The other thing, too, I'm very sorry that Joe Biden is our new president, but I will pray for him.
Of course.
Because to a certain extent, the success of the American people is tied to his success to a certain degree. And I will pray for him, even when I disagree. I refuse to do what the Democrats have done for the last 4 years, and that is to demonize people who disagree with me or the ACLJ.
Well, let me tell you this. You know, there's three lawyers in the studio right now that have lived through each one of these battles with the president of the United, the former president of the United States, President Trump. You're always a president. He's not the president. He's a president. But three of us have lived through this battle. The amount of incoming against Donald Trump is unprecedented, Andy, in American history.
I've never seen anything like it. I mean, the man took office under attack. The first thing, you have the Mueller investigation and this Russia hoax and collusion, which we now know is a lie and never occurred, okay? And then we have spying on his campaign, which has been proven. It happened. It occurred. There's no doubt about it. Then after that, he makes a telephone call to the president of the Ukraine, and he's impeached because he makes a telephone call, and he's tried in the Senate. He's acquitted in the Senate. Then the poor man has COVID to face, and he's got to deal with that. And then Supreme Court cases that are coming to him from the district attorney in Manhattan and so forth. I mean, there was no end to the attacks that he endured.
And they're still not over.
No, they're not over. And yet, look what he accomplished. I mean, the imposition of tariffs to stop unfair trade practices with China, eliminating the Obamacare individual mandate, lowering drug prices, protecting patients with pre-existing conditions. As Jordan went and said, the federal judges, we don't have vacancies anymore. Three Supreme Court justices who are conservatives, who read the Constitution literally and as it's written, and do not legislate from the bench. 7 million new jobs, an opportunity for African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, Native Americans that has never existed before. We didn't have 4 years of empty wasteland.
The help to the historically black colleges.
Oh, yeah. It was a total change. And we also had peace in our own country, even with the political turmoil. And I think in a sense, that's why they were able to go with these political attacks at such an aggressive level, because we didn't have new foreign wars. They were troop withdrawals. We were taking out Baghdadi strategically. We destroyed ISIS strategically without 50,000 troops having to be deployed. Yeah. We took out the head of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard strategically, not going to war with Iran, and Iran didn't go to war with us over that. But I will tell you that President Trump is still under attack today by the same Democrats, by literally the same committees in the House, by the same elected officials in New York. They want to see him either erased from history or behind bars. That's their rhetoric. And they're going to continue this. So, in a sense, you have two battles to fight. You have two battles of the Biden administration that will come. And then you have the battles to preserve a president who finally got to Washington and said, I don't have some great respect for these institutions. They're supposed to serve the people. And if they don't, you destroy them. That's what should be done, or you get fired. And, you know, no one wants to talk about the VA actually working. That was like the depths of the worst bureaucracy. It was so corrupt. They could never get a VA secretary in who wasn't being indicted. It didn't work for our veterans, and now it does. He gets no credit for it. And even from his own
How about
party.
The vaccine within less than a year?
Oh, yeah. Remember, he was called crazy and a nut and a liar. But he wasn't lying. He just knew that it was interesting. One of the congressmen said today he had to bully the FDA, but it took a bully to get it done.
Yep.
And sometimes it does take a bully, a tough guy, not a wimp who lets the bureaucracy run them. And unfortunately, that's who America elected. America elected a wimp that the bureaucracy will run. And you can already see Joe Biden gives words, but Susan Rice is running things. Kamala Harris, and he was already indicating that in the campaign. And so you can see that why his words don't match up with the policies that are being enacted. And I think when you put in place someone who loves the bureaucracy and loves Washington, that's the scariest thing to me as an American. You should never have so much respect for those institutions that they run you, who are supposed to be the elected officials that represent the country. So that will all be a test for Joe Biden. All this will be a test for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and their administration. And I think we can most of us predict where they're going to go with the bureaucracy. We'll take more of your phone calls, more of your comments when we come back. Last time on Secular Radio, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to get right to work. We already are right to work at the American Center for Law and Justice. Support our work at ACLJ.org. The battle begins now. I mean, it was already beginning in a sense. But it really begins today because the power has shifted. And it will be a dramatic change. Support our work at the American Center for Law and Justice. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
some of your phone calls now. Gabrielle is calling from Georgia on line one. Gabrielle, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. I just wanted to call and ask you a legal question. I heard that Biden, and I'm not sure if this is completely true, is going to sign a order to stop the wall from being built today.
Yes.
Can he do that?
Yes.
When Trump couldn't, they stopped him with like 50 lawsuits.
Oh, they always were trying to prevent him from utilizing what the FUDs were, the executive order. But this is what, but you know, we're past that now. So he was able to do about 400 miles of the most sophisticated, most up-to-date, new, and you saw this massive decrease. It wasn't even an issue anymore, illegal immigration. I think because they knew that you were doing this, plus enforcement of our actual laws and deportations. But what Joe Biden's going to do as president, likely today, he's going to sign a border wall proclamation executive order that terminates the national emergency at the border, halts the funds for wall construction, directs a pause in ongoing construction as soon as possible, but no later than 7 days.
Yes, I mean, but look,
I mean, the wall stops being built.
But this is where we go back to the issue that elections, there are consequences with elections, and this is one of the consequences. Look, we're not going to be able to constitutionally mandate that he builds a wall.
No.
Okay. We're going to have to challenge the wisdom of reducing border security to such an extent that it causes harm to the American people. For instance, now I understand that they've stopped this caravan that was on its way. Has that been stopped now?
In Guatemala, some of the countries got involved.
I think some of the countries stopped it. But it was like Joe Biden was giving them a welcome in.
Well, because this first 100 days, no deportations, and then if you're here, you're going to be granted amnesty.
Right. So
now some of that he can't do.
No, that has to go through Congress.
Massive amnesty cannot be done by him.
Right.
DACA, these temporary things can be. But the full-on amnesty would have to take Congress. And listen, you might be able to get it through the House, but it's not getting through the Senate, likely. So he's also going to make promises that he won't. This has happened with President Obama a lot. They made promises they could never deliver on. Right. And I think, you know, it didn't cost President Obama as much because there wasn't a great, you know, there weren't great candidates, especially, I think, Mitt Romney versus Obama. Everybody was giving it, knew that President Obama was like going to get reelected. I mean, you fought it out, but it just wasn't there. The passion wasn't there. But he made promises he couldn't keep. I think Joe Biden will do that. The question, the media though, doesn't hold him to account at all.
Now, that's going to be the interesting going forward.
Oh,
I mean, because you're watching and it's like, I'm trying to figure out why are people going to turn it on?
They're not. They're not going to turn on praise Joe Biden networks. And because it's not interesting. They want to hear policy disputes. They want to hear what does he want to do. They don't want to hear about his dog. They don't care about the personal stories don't really matter anymore. He's the president. What he does as president does or what he doesn't do.
My great fear in all of this is we've had 4 years with no military incursions.
Yep.
I mean, Wes, you served in the military. You retired as a colonel from the United States Army. My concern is he's brought the same people back that got us into conflict after conflict after conflict.
Yeah, absolutely.
You mentioned, police of the world. Doesn't George Bush did that too.
Yeah. You mentioned a minute ago that elections have consequences. I hope Mr. Biden will learn quickly that words and policies have consequences. When you telegraph weakness to our enemies like Iran or to our adversaries like Russia and China, they will take advantage of that weakness. When you telegraph weakness on border security, you get 9,000 people storming your border. I mean, the policies and the way he telegraphs weakness like Obama did will have disastrous consequences, and it seems like that's what he's going to do.
I want to go to Andy on this one because Andy is a historian, and that is historically at this moment, is there a comparison in history?
Yes. One of the things that we learned in the Roman Empire, in the history of the Roman Empire, was something that says very carefully, if you conquer and if you win and you prevail, as he has done, okay, don't overconquer. Don't overplay your hand because that will come back to destroy you ultimately. And this is what he is doing. He doesn't understand the importance of consensus and the fact that 75 million people in the United States voted for Donald Trump for president of the United States.
Now, there's two Americas, and unfortunately, politically, I think it's been the case for a long time. But they have tried to, like, drive that wedge. Like, you know, they drive that wedge. So if you supported President Trump, you are bad. You're a bad person. Right. You're not a citizen of the world. Oh, America first. That's racist. That's xenophobic. And yet, you know, I think here, let's take Richard's call out of Kansas, because I think this is important. If you want to see the ideas of President Trump continue, how do you see that done? And I think Richard is right. Richard, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, the American First movement has to start. We have to pick up the mantle in our local communities, in ourselves, in our neighborhoods, work up from there and take care of our local governments, our county governments, and our state governments.
I think
we have to monitor them. We have a Declaration of Independence that sets forth our governance.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Richard, that people have got to wake up, because we saw Republican legislatures all over the country drop the ball. I'm not going to relitigate that, but they did. We saw horrendous Republican elected officials run horrible elections and then do it again in Georgia. And you know that they should face electoral consequences for that, because you have to make a decision if you vote more likely Republican than Democrat. Are you going to let those Republicans stay in office? Is that who's going to lead your party at the state level, at the statewide level? And what Richard's talking about is even getting more locally involved. Who is your state rep? Can you hold them to account? If you live in a Republican state representative's district, and they ran on being, you know, a Trump supporter and this and America First, are they actually doing that at the state level? Are they doing that is it local level, state level? Is your mayor doing what they said they were going to do? Is your congressman or woman doing what they said they were going to do? Is your senators that you elected who ran ads with President Trump in them, are they still holding that mantle? Or are they, if they run away from it, those are the people who should be canceled out of the party. Not the person who got them elected because of running with that message. I mean, that's the truth. That's how God kind of holds today. That we just, you know, take in today, be ready to fight tomorrow.
Yeah, I think, look, I mean, I think the president said this, President Trump said this in his address yesterday. Let me play it for you. It's number 59.
This is a republic of proud citizens who are united by our common conviction that America is the greatest nation in all of history. We are and must always be a land of hope, of light, and of glory to all the world. This is the precious inheritance that we must safeguard at every single turn. For the past 4 years, I have worked to do just that.
So now what I say to our listeners on radio stations, on Sirius XM, on all the social media platforms that we're on, whether it's YouTube or Facebook or all the other ones, ACLJ.org. Rumble, let me say this to you. Don't lose hope in all of this. I understand we're all kind of, you know, you're in a bit of a funk. I mean, you know, for a lot of us, we've lived this every day for 4 years, literally every day for 4 years. Illegal incoming. We were trying to be the bulletproof vest, so to speak, the armor. So we still have to do that for President Trump, because they still, you know, they're still trying to go after him. But I will say this. We just have to be, what Jordan said just at the end there is very important. We have to be prepared to engage tomorrow morning. We're prepared to engage. We're working on it this afternoon. Doesn't stop for us, and it doesn't stop for you. So let's keep standing tall. Let's keep standing for American values. Do not lose. Pray for the new president. We're commanded to do that by Scripture, but be prepared to engage these issues.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.